Hi folks, welcome to 2 Feet Apart. This is an intersectionally inclusive space where community meets storytelling. It's a space that is nurtured by vulnerability and the sharing of our stories because they are our greatest strengths and our strongest powers. With that in mind, happy listening. Hi everyone, and welcome back to 2 Feet Apart with me, your host, Peachy Patrick. Today we have Danica. She is a full-time creator in the personal finance and travel space that has recently moved from Toronto to Malaga, Spain. Did I say that right?
Malaga.
Okay, yeah. I was so close.
It's all good.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to talk today with you.
Likewise. Can you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Danica. People often call me Danny. As you mentioned, I am a full-time creator in the personal finance and travel space. My professional background is marketing. I've been in the marketing space for 10 years, but after a pretty tumultuous 2023 with, you know, dealing with some burnout and just some like mental health things that I really wanted to focus on, I decided to take a step back from the corporate space and, you know, start my own thing. And also, as you mentioned, I wanted to live out my lifelong dream of living abroad for at least a year. And it took a while to make it happen. It was originally an idea of mine in August 2022, but we made it happen. My partner and I, we moved to Malaga, Spain as of December 2023, and we'll be here for 1 year on a visa called the Youth Mobility Visa. So super excited to, you know, be living in Europe for a year and just experience all that Spain has to offer, and also just take advantage of the affordable flights to travel throughout Europe as well.
Amazing. There's so much to unpack there. But what was the transition like to doing your own thing?
Yeah, so it was kind of, I've always wanted to do my own thing. It's always been a dream of mine, but I grew up with not a lot of money. And because I didn't grow up with a ton of money, I have always had a bit of like financial trauma, and specifically a scarcity mindset, in the sense that I love a steady paycheck. Like every 2 weeks, you know when the money's coming, you know how much it's going to be. That's something that I've always really depended on, and probably stayed at workplaces longer than I should have because of the golden handcuffs of getting that money on time, getting the health benefits and things like that. But in early last year, early 2023, I experienced some pretty bad burnout to a point that I had to sit down with myself and be like, girl, you cannot keep going like this. This is not healthy. So it led to me taking a short-term disability slash stress leave and slash sick leave. And I did that for 8 weeks. So that was a 2-month stress leave. And then when I got back to work on my fourth day back, I was part of a mass layoff. So
no,
people say, oh no, but I'm like, I'm kind of grateful and I'm kind of relieved that it happened that way, because do you really want to stay in an environment that is driving you to a point of burnout in the first place?
This is so true.
Exactly. So it really worked out for me in the sense that I had already had some time, 8 weeks, to kind of think about what was going to be up next for me. I had some time to work through therapy and kind of like, you know, unpacking that financial trauma and the scarcity mindset and things like that. And I just decided, you know what, you don't need to rush back into a new job right now. Like, you can try to do your own thing. I was already doing part-time creator work for probably the 2 years prior to that. So I'm like, you know what, let me just take this full time and see how it goes. And here I am.
Amazing. Can you share a little bit more about like what that experience was like for you, what it looked like, your day to day?
Yeah, for sure. You mean in the creator world?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So it's honestly quite unstructured. I'm still kind of figure out my flow, but you know, some days it'll be me pitching myself to different brands, whether they be banks or financial institutions or travel related companies like airlines or hotels and things like that. And if we agree on a partnership, I will create content for them in the form of videos on Instagram or TikTok. Maybe I will shout them out in like an email newsletter or something like that. And it's been great for me so far. It's definitely nowhere near the type of compensation I was making in a full-time tech role, but I love it because it gives me the work-life balance that I need to feel healthy and to feel like myself and to really enjoy the luxuries of life, which to me is like a slow morning and just not being in back-to-back meetings and not having a lot on my plate. I still have a lot of goals this year of things that I want to accomplish in the creator world, like starting a YouTube channel, for example, and just really answering a lot of questions of like what it's like to live abroad, because I think a lot of people dream of that, but taking it a day at a time.
Yeah. And you totally just leaned into my next question in terms of a lot of people dream of that. I am one of those people. I keep telling myself, so I have a son. I'm a single mom. He's almost three. And I keep telling myself, like, maybe we'll just go to like Portugal for a year or Austria. Those are my two locations. I know they're two very different locations. So it's like it feels like a fever dream, but I really want to make it happen. And I know that there's different types of visas. How did you go about looking into the visa, and what was that like application process like?
Yeah, for sure. So I landed on a visa called the Youth Mobility Visa. So it's available to Canadian citizens, 18 to some countries are 30, some countries are 35. Spain and Portugal are both 35 because Portugal was actually my first choice, but we ended up moving to Spain. And it was a process, I am not going to lie. It's a lot of paperwork. You have to do things like show proof that you have a certain amount of money in your bank account. You have to get a letter from your doctor saying that you don't have any health issues that would be a risk to public health. You have to do fingerprinting with the RCMP, the police station. It is a ton of paperwork. It is not easy, but definitely very worth it because it worked out and my partner and I are both living here. There are other visas available to folks like over 35, for example, like the digital nomad visa, but you do have to make a certain amount of money every month to be able to get that. And that might be a barrier for some folks.
Interesting. That's so fascinating. So how did you land on Spain?
Yeah, cost of living was a big factor. I am originally from downtown Toronto, where it costs $100 to go outside just for like a day.
Yeah.
So, cost of living definitely played a huge role into it because, according to a site that I like to use called Numbeo, Numbeo, for anyone interested, they do like cost of living indexes and comparisons. And Malaga, Spain, is 40% less expensive in terms of cost of living than Toronto. So, that was already a huge factor. And my partner and I had actually visited Malaga last May as well, just to see if we would like it, because we had just heard some things from YouTubers online that it was like the place to be. And indeed it was. They have a beach here with real water and real sand. It is, in January, and tomorrow is going to be 22 degrees Celsius with full sun. And from someone like myself, who definitely suffers from seasonal depression in Toronto, that was a sell for me. I was just like, say no more. Let's pack it up and get going.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's really fascinating that there's that website for cost of living indexes. That's super duper helpful. How did you go about finding housing and things like that?
Yeah, for sure. First, I should start by saying, in order to kind of make this whole move happen, I did have a home that I purchased in Toronto back in 2015 that I sold to make this move happen. I did a lot of research and everyone kind of encouraged me to just rent it out while I was away, but I've been a landlord before, did not enjoy that process. And there's also a lot of tax implications that come up when you are a non-resident of Canada and have property in Canada. So I'm like, you know what? Let me just, rid
Wipe my
myself of
hands.
this. Yeah, let's just make it happen. So that definitely helped because selling that home gave me a lot of savings and buffer so that, if my creator business has a slow few months, like I can always live off of that. I think that's always important to share because a lot of people don't share that they have like those safety blankets in order to make these big dreams happen. And it is a privilege to be able to do that. So just wanted to put that out there. And in terms of answering your question of finding housing, so at first we found a Airbnb. A lot of folks also don't know that when you're looking on Airbnb, if you stay for 28 days or more, places also often give you a massive discount. Like I've gotten discounts like 50% off once you stay for a month or more. So currently in an Airbnb, but we are starting to look for longer term accommodations. The popular website in both Portugal and Spain actually is called Idealista. Idealista, and you can kind of just go on there, search the area that you're looking for, your budget, and just, make meetings and appointments with real estate agents or owners.
So smart. You're such a wealth of resources around this. I love this. Are these some of the questions that you typically get from people?
People do ask them often, but these are all the questions that I had when I was trying to figure out my life too. So, yeah.
What's another question that you typically get?
What's it like in terms of racism being a Black person in Spain?
Oh, good one. Okay, let's hear it.
So far, my partner and I have not left Malaga. We've been here for a month. We've really just stayed in our part of Spain, and we've had zero issues. Especially like in real life, people are super kind, super friendly, especially if they see that you're trying to speak Spanish or like practicing your Spanish with them. They're really like welcoming and encouraging, which I love. I have experienced online some like kind of sketchy comments and some racist remarks sometimes. I don't know where those folks live. I assume they're in Spain somewhere, not necessarily Malaga. So that's been a little bit weird online, but in general, in Malaga so far, zero racism, zero issues. I am very aware of Spain's history, and I do know that, once we start traveling more throughout the country, there is a high chance that we probably will experience racism or, discrimination, et cetera. But so far, it's been good in real life, online, a little bit sketchy sometimes, but overall, a great experience.
Okay, I'm glad overall it's been good. And how have you found things with the language barrier? Is it like a big barrier for you?
So I've taken various Spanish classes throughout my life. I'm also on a 179-day Duolingo streak. So
Yes.
I've been trying, but you know what I've learned? Duolingo will have you feeling like that girl, and then you'll come to Spain and realize you are not that girl. Duolingo
Instant
teaches
humble.
you, yeah, Duolingo I think helps you just like with the very basics and just like root words, but Spanish can be difficult in the sense that you have to conjugate verbs and things like that. So I have a whole Spanish study plan, which is I do two group lessons per week. I do one private class per week. I do my Duolingo lesson, and then I say if I watch anything, any shows, has to either be in Spanish or with Spanish subtitles. So that's kind of how I'm learning.
So
Malaga,
smart.
yeah, Malaga is a place where a lot of people don't speak English, especially in comparison to like Madrid or Barcelona, the bigger cities. So the barrier can be difficult sometimes, but I am very committed to learning as much as I can while I'm here.
Such a good plan. And based on your 1 month living there, if you had the opportunity to extend it past a year, would you?
Absolutely. My partner and I talk about this all the time. Like, we love this place. It's a dream, truly. So if we can figure out a way to extend, whether it's like the digital nomad visa or something else, we would love to make it happen. I think my dream in general would be to live in Canada for the spring summer in Toronto, where my family is, and then like peace out fall winter and just enjoy the nice weather here.
So smart. I love that. And how has that shifted the content that you've been creating?
Yeah, I've been focusing a lot more on, life abroad, a day in the life of a Canadian who moved to Spain type content. I do want to start, getting back to my finance roots, which is really where my content resonated most with people as I have grown as a creator. So, still trying to strike the balance between the two, but yeah, a little bit of travel, a little bit of how I'm managing my money, how much I spend on things here, how much it costs to live here, though that's what's been most popular.
Amazing. And what inspired you to become a finance creator in the first place?
Yeah, so funny enough, that was never the plan. I was always planning to be a travel creator. And in 2019, I went on something that I call a Liberty leave. A lot of people say sabbatical, but I'm a marketer, so I just make everything fun and more like alliteration.
Love it.
So thank you. I define a Liberty leave as, taking the liberty to leave behind what doesn't bring you liberty for what does. So in 2019, I took a 6 months off work to travel Asia completely solo. I went to six different countries, had the time of my absolute life, but had to cut it a little bit short because the pandemic started. So I obviously had to, put a pause on that travel content and focus on another topic that I was passionate about, which was money. And during that time, since a lot of us were staying home, we really didn't have, or many of us didn't really have things to spend our salary on. Or we were just figuring out, okay, now that I'm making all this money, I have time to listen. Sorry, I have time to learn how to make and manage it. That's what I was committed to. I'm like, you know what? I've always been good at making and managing money. let me take my community along on the journey with me and we can learn together. And my community is predominantly Black, Indigenous, and women of color who often also struggle with like maybe not having access to financial literacy as a child or just trying to figure things out like investing as they're in their 20s, 30s, 40s. So we're all in it together. And I've always just wanted to, keep it 100 and let them know how my journey is going.
Amazing. And what are some things you've shared that you thought were not much of a big deal, but maybe had a bigger reaction online? Like people being like, oh my gosh, I needed to know this and I had no clue.
Ooh, a few different things. I'd say one of my most popular topics, actually, there's a few. One of them was just pay transparency in general. I spent a weekend just saying, what's your job title? How much money do you make? What's your experience? And, how long have you been in the field? And a bunch of people just submitted anonymously. And it was just so eye-opening to some people to see that they were being underpaid, like, significantly. And, by switching to maybe tech, for example, or switching to another field, how much more money they could make. So that was definitely a huge one, just being open with pay transparency. Another really popular topic was something that I called vex money, which is a term in like Jamaica, but also a lot of like African countries, where it's the concept of making sure that you always have your money in hand in case something ever goes down and you need to pay your way to get out. So originally the concept was you go on a date with a guy, he ends up being an a-hole, you want to pay for your taxi ride home, you have your vex money so you could do that and you don't need to depend on him to, drive you home. But I kind of took it to a larger setting where it's like if this company that you're working for starts messing around with you, not paying you your worth, burning you out and things like that, you have your vex money where you can just leave. You don't have to endure, you don't have to, be resilient and keep pushing through. You can just peace out. And that was a really cool concept for folks. So they're like, I've never thought of that before, but I need to start, building my vex money because my company's pissing me off.
Yeah, it's so true. And do you have any tips for people looking to build that?
Absolutely. To put their money in a high interest savings account, there's a lot of really great interest rate offers right now, up to like 5% for just literally storing your money in there. So always keep it in a high interest savings account. I would say, build a sinking fund. A sinking fund just means, you have different pools or different pots of money for different things. So one is an emergency fund, one is your vacation fund, one is your fun money, one is your vex fund. Just making sure that you're keeping those separate so you know what you're saving for. And also just like automating savings as well. A lot of people have like a payday routine in the sense that, as soon as your money gets deposited in your bank account, you don't even have to do anything because you've set up all of your automation. So everything gets sent everywhere. It makes your life easier and just makes sure that you don't forget and that you don't spend money that you shouldn't want, that you don't want to spend.
So smart. And how did you go about kind of, because you said that you grew up with like a scarcity mindset and things like that. And I think that that's really common for a lot of people in our age group, is something that they're coming to realize from just conversations I've been having with people. So how did you go about educating yourself on these things to be able to be confident enough to start to educate other people?
So I'm actually in a course called Trauma of Money, highly recommended for anyone who has any type of money trauma. It's like a few month course, but truly incredible. It's all online and I loved it. And it's really taught me to understand the different type of financial traumas, where my scarcity mindset came from, how to overcome it, and things like that. That's helped a lot. But also, because of my scarcity mindset, that's really what has caused me throughout my life to be really good at money because I don't ever want to be in a place of struggle like I saw family members struggle when I was growing up. And yeah, that alone has really, that mindset has helped me, make sure that I'm always saving, make sure that I'm never overspending, put me in a place where I felt comfortable investing, whether it's in the stock market or buying my first home. So I feel like, compounding all of those good money moves has made me feel comfortable, sharing with others how to make and manage money.
Yeah, and I love that. I think it's one of those things, it's almost like a taboo topic. Talking about money, I know in my household, it's definitely not something that we like openly talked about growing up. And so I make sure that I openly talk about it with my son now,
if he wants something, and like I said, he's only two. But if he wants something, I'm like, well, like we need money and then we have to go to the store and buy it. And so he kind of understands that. And if he's like, don't go to work, I'll be like, I need to go to work because that's how I make money for us to buy the things you want. And so now he'll be like, I need more milk. Can you work so we can buy it? I'm like, sure, kid.
Oh, that's so cute.
And things like that. So I think it's really important to start to have those conversations. What is something you now would tell your younger self?
Oh, when it comes to money?
When it comes to money, when it comes to travel, when it comes to anything.
Yes. One of the kind of quotes I always say to myself in my head is, you're not too old and it's not too late, and you can switch things up as often as you need to. Sometimes we feel like we have to stay in crappy situations longer than we probably should have just because we've already invested this time and energy into it. But we can switch it up as often as we need to. It's our life and we got to do what we got to do sometimes.
I love that. And is what you're doing now a reflection of what you wanted to do when you were younger?
Not when I was younger. When I was younger, I really wanted to be a marine biologist. Mind you, I
Okay.
am now 33 years old. I cannot swim and I am like very afraid of the ocean and just open water in general. Maybe it wasn't the best decision in the world. I did also want to be on TV. I went to school for radio and television. I wanted to be like a weather lady. And
Yeah.
while maybe I didn't exactly do that, I still am creating. I'm in front of the camera. I'm doing my editing and things like that. So I'm still kind of doing what I had always wanted to do.
Amazing. And based on your experience with travel, with finances, as a woman of color, all of these things, what is one discrimination that you would erase if you could?
Sorry, could you repeat that?
Based on your experience with finances, with travel, with working as a creator, as a woman of color, all of these things, what is one discrimination that you would erase if you could?
Ooh. One discrimination that I would erase. Probably that you have to be rich. Well, I don't know if that's a discrimination actually, but one assumption that people have is that like in order to live the life that I live, you have to be really rich and make a lot of money. That's really not the case, you know. When I went on my 6-month trip through Asia, I chose countries where my Canadian dollar went very far. The cost of living in those countries was like significantly less than where I was coming from. So that meant I only needed to save money for a shorter period of time. My money stretched a lot further, and I had the time of my life. It was literally a life highlight.
Amazing. I love that. What were some of the countries that you went to?
Yes, Thailand, Vietnam, Malaysia, Singapore, Indonesia, and the Philippines.
I love that. That sounds like such an amazing trip. And you said you did it all solo?
I did. Yes, I met
That's
a lot
even
of people
better.
along the way. I, you know, learned how to find community abroad in Facebook groups, which is funny enough. People are like, ew, Facebook in 2024. But Facebook is great for finding community abroad, especially as a Black woman. I was actually going to mention to you earlier, there's a Black in Portugal Facebook group where if you ever want to go, like there's hundreds of Black women who live there. You can link up with them. They've got like dinners every week. And even when I was living in various Asian countries, they would have Sunday dinners, Sunday brunches, and it was a great way for me to connect with community abroad.
That is so smart. Facebook, look at that.
Yes.
Is that one of the platforms that you currently activate on?
Yes, but only for like group and finding community. I don't use, I have like a private profile that I don't even add any of my friends on, just my travel friends, and I use it for
Yeah.
Facebook groups.
So smart. So smart.
Yeah.
Keep it all separate. Keep it all separate. What is one part of your story that you think is important for everyone to hear?
One part of my story. You know, I think the stress leave that I took last year was such a defining moment in my life. I am a perfectionist. I am an overachiever, type one, type A, like just very much logical person. And it was really tough for me to admit that I was burnt out and that I needed to take a step back. But admitting that to myself has honestly changed my life. I'm currently living my dream life, and I wouldn't have got to this point if I stayed and, endured that job that was not bringing me joy. So, yeah, I love telling people that story because it's also something that is not talked about often. It's very faux pas to mention, oh, you took a stress leave, you took a sick leave, you went on short-term disability. But a lot of people do it. And I learned that through sharing the content openly about my stress leave, because the amount of people that reached out and said, I've done this before. I wish that I had this type of content to tell me how to navigate it, because that would have changed my life. Or,
Yes.
it's something I've always wanted to do, but I was afraid and I didn't know how it works. So thank you for being so open and honest about it. That made me feel really good about, being vulnerable enough to share that. So I think that really did change my life in a lot of ways.
So smart. And I think that sharing it is really important because I ended up on a stress leave last year for 2 weeks. And I don't think many people know that. And I had no idea how to navigate it. I didn't really expect it. I had just like shared with my superior that I was feeling overwhelmed with like all these different things going on in life. And they were like, you should take this stress leave kind of thing. And I was like, oh, okay. And it was just kind of last minute. And so for the first like 5 days, I still was like logging into my email to try and like see how things were going. And then she was like, Patra, I'm gonna lock you out now. I was like, oh, okay. And then I really had no idea how to navigate the rest of it. And I feel like if I would have talked to more people about it and made it more beneficial, then like if I felt more open about it and more honest, then I think I would have been able to make it a more beneficial leave. But it turned out that like I had that stress leave and then 2 months later had like terrible burnout for like 2 months. And so it's one of those things that, yeah, we don't often talk about, but I think that we should. So what are some things that you did while you were on your stress leave that you found really helped? Because I have no advice for people when they ask. I'm like, I don't know. I went to therapy once, I went to a spa, I cleaned a lot.
Yeah, to be fair, 2 weeks is not a lot of time for a stress leave. And like, even for me, it took me probably a month before I could even, calm and regulate my nervous system. So just to, give you some bail there. But for me, yeah, I did keep up therapy for sure. That was kind of like a mandatory that my doctor said I had to do in order to get the 8 weeks that I requested. I also did do the spa days and just like, oh, the self-care things that are popular, but also just did a lot of like looking inwards and being like, what are you doing with your life? And what is next? And is this working? And it's not working. So how are you going to fix it and solution it so your nervous system is not on fire again? And that's why when I got laid off from my job, when I got back, I'm like, oh, the universe is just pointing me in the right direction and making the decision for me, which I was really grateful for. And yeah, that's kind of really what I did. Spend a lot of time with family and friends, time that I didn't really have the time or energy to spend before because I was so burnt out. And yeah, reconnecting with my community. I did a little bit of travel as well to just, let me be in my feelings and sit with it. And it was so beautiful. It was such a beautiful time that I'm so grateful for.
I love that. Yeah, yours sounds like it was exactly what you needed, and I'm so glad that you were able to get that. Is there anything that you're currently working on or trying to raise awareness for?
Oh, I'm working on all the things. I have my website launching soon. It'll be libertyleave.com, and it'll be the intersection of travel and finance. So teaching people how to make and manage money so they can travel more. That'll be up by March of 2024. So really excited to share that
Exciting.
with the world. Thank you. And yeah, continuing to create on my social platforms, Instagram and TikTok. It's just my name at Danica S. Nelson. And yeah, just sharing what it's like to live abroad as a Black couple living in Malaga, Spain, and seeing where life takes us.
Perfect. And that answers my next question, which is where can listeners best find or support you? I'll make sure that that's all linked below. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat today, to share your experience, to share your wisdom and all the resources for people that want to travel. I'll link some of the resources below as well. And yeah, just a wholehearted thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a great chat.